Well, praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 31st chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 31, beginning at verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay, that is, rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil, and will not call back, he will not retract his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against them, against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horse is flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. An acknowledgement of strength, an acknowledgement of numbers. Is this why they go down to Egypt? To go down, to descend, decline, march down, sink down. Down to Egypt for help. The quest of those that rely on horses, depend on horses, Egypt's horses, those that trust in chariots, it's chariots because they are many, and horsemen, it's horsemen because they are strong, hope fixed on strong drivers. The message reads, off to Egypt thinking that horses can help them. Impressed by military mathematics, awed by sheer numbers of chariots and riders. Is there anything wrong with a chariot? Is there anything wrong with a horse? Is there anything wrong with a horseman and these in numbers? Words. Help, rely, depend, trust, hope. Where do we go when we need help? Where do we go when we need reliance? Where do we go when we need strength? Flight to Egypt. To Egypt, or out of the NLT, those who look to Egypt for help, trusting their horses, chariots, and charioteers, and depending on the strength of human armies instead of looking to the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. We know the history, the great history of the Exodus. God brought his people. He brought his people out of Egypt. The power of God on display. And the power of the application of the blood. Out they went. What a rescue. What a victory. What triumph. And we know the Pharaoh devil came after them. Hot pursuit. Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. The Bible records 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. Horses and chariots and charioteers. Hot pursuit. And look, here they come. Here come all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. Exodus 14, we pick it up at verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation. See the deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Quiet. Verses 15 to 18, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Lord led them. The Lord was with them. He was taking care of them. The Lord protected them. Verses 21 to 23, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. God versus Egypt. God versus chariots and horses and horsemen. Take your pick. Choose your help. Reliance and trust. Yes, there is strength in numbers and strength in chariots and horses and horsemen, but there is no strength like our God. These will ever be so very inferior. Verses 24 to 31, now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and the chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew, literally shook off the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You know, perhaps it's time for a song, a psalm. Don't you love the songs of David? Just so pure, so holy. Fill up on the word today. Fill up with the word today. Receive this. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 7. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm with you, David, all the way. The Darby translation, some make mention of chariots and some of horses, but we of the name of Jehovah our God. Perhaps it's time for a song. Fresh out of the red split sea, and they're singing on the shoreline. Moses and the children of Israel singing to the Lord. A blood-bought choir, a supernatural choir. They sang this song. We only have time for five verses of this lengthy song. Exodus 15, 1 to 5. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. The Lord, who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army, and the reinforcements together. And there they are, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. You know, some trust in chariots and horses. Some do. Some trust in that which God has triumphed over gloriously. Some do. Some see the war chariots and war horses and war horsemen. Some do. And there they are, enamored, impressed, drawn by, even seduced. And here too, the quest of the wayward. They look not unto the Holy One, neither seek the Lord. They do not look to the Holy One for relief or even bother to consult him. Or perhaps a glance, a call, but unable to stomach delay. We are not of the sum. The Lord is our strength and song. He has become our salvation. He is our God. We will praise him. We will exalt him. We look to him. We seek him. Do you see what I see? The Lord, the man of war. Those words, so I will gain honor. The words of our God, I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Listen, the Egyptians knew. The Egyptians know. But what of God's people? What of the people of God and those here and now? Yes, the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The people of God saw the great work. They saw it firsthand. They saw the triumph of their God, the Lord, the man of war. They feared the Lord. They believed the Lord. They had this holy fear, this proper fear. They believed the servant of the Lord. But time passes. Time passes. And so much history. Sons and daughters, generations, down the line, down through the ages. You know, it's hard to believe all that took place after the triumph of the Red Sea. I mean, people, God is so faithful. You've got the man of war on your side. You've got the man of war before you and behind you and beside you, all around you. And we see a new generation on the rise and into the promised land. And here too, the struggle, trusting God. Down through the ages, and the prophet Isaiah sees what's going on, what's taking place. Down to Egypt. What in the world is it about Egypt that keeps drawing people? Why do people keep going down to Egypt, even God's people? Not looking to the Holy One, not seeking the Lord, not looking to the Holy One for relief or even bothering to consult Him. Why all of a sudden even a generation pops up, God's so-called people, and they're going down to Egypt? I mean, God has taken us out and up. So why would we ever go down? You know, the Spirit has to speak today, and the Spirit will. Hear the voice of God. New King James Version, I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. I mean, imagine. Imagine giving honor to the chariots and the horses and the horsemen of Egypt when the Lord has gained the honor. Looking to them, even seeking. Exodus 14, 18, the Amplified Classic, I have gained honor and glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Honor and glory gained. Well, Isaiah, what do you see? Isaiah 31, 1, the Wycliffe Bible, woe to them that go down to Egypt to help and hope in horses. And have trust on carts, for they be many, and on knights, for they be full strong. And they trust not on the Holy of Israel, and they sought not the Lord. I guess them were going down for help, down for hope, down for trust, down for strength. I mean, they could have trusted God. They could have looked to God. They could have sought the Lord, the man of war. But they're choosing Egypt. Chariots, horses, and horsemen. That which God has gained the honor and glory over. Don't stop singing. Never stop singing. Is this what happens when people lose the song? Lose their song? The Message paraphrase, I'm singing my heart out to God. What a victory. He pitched horse and rider into the sea. God is my strength. God is my song. And yes, God is my salvation. This is the kind of God I have, and I'm telling the world. Egypt represents the old life, the world, the worldly. And the help, the hope, the confidence, and so on of those not of God are the chariots, the horses, and the horsemen, the charioteers of Egypt. All these represent and might represent. This is what they have. This is all they have. Even those caught up and swallowed up by other religions, ungodly religions and religious systems, they can't see it, but they really are part of Egypt. Isaiah had a message. Reading from the voice, oh, how bad it will be for you who look to the south, to Egypt for help, and depend on her horses, who trust in its many chariots and fix your hopes on its strong drivers, yet you do not look to the Holy One of Israel for relief or even bother to consult him. God is both wise and willing to wreak disaster. He does not second guess himself or backtrack on what he says. God will amass all divine power against those who do evil and against whoever aids and abets them. As for Egypt, why do you rely on them? They are great, yes, but merely men, not God. Their steeds, just creatures, not spirits. But when the Eternal reaches out and makes his power felt, those who lent their help will stumble. Those who looked for help will fall together. They will be rooted and killed. The message doomed to those who go off to Egypt thinking that horses can help them, impressed by military mathematics, awed by sheer numbers of chariots and riders, and to the Holy of Israel, not even a glance. Not so much as a prayer to God. Still, he must be reckoned with. Most wise God who knows what he's doing. He can call down catastrophe. He's a God who does what he says. He intervenes in the work of those who do wrong, stands up against interfering evildoers. Egyptians are mortal, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. When God gives the signal, helpers and helped alike will fall in a heap and share the same dirt grave. And so, the heading appears. The folly of not trusting God. The Egyptians are men. Their horses flesh. The Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses flesh and not spirit. Merely human, not God. Just creatures, not spirit. 2 Chronicles 32:8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words. Arm of flesh, arm of God. His hand, his arm is not shortened, people. The message reads, there are more on our side than on their side. He only has a bunch of mere men. We have our God to help us and fight for us. Morale surged. The word put steel in their spines. There is strength for the taking today. A strength that is available because of these words, through these words, in these words. An arm of flesh, but with us. But with us. It's the Lord our God. You know, it really is folly to not trust God. Isaiah 31, 1-3, woe to those that go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words but will arise against the house of evildoers. And against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. We're reading some strong words. Woe to those. Men, not God, flesh, not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down. They will perish together. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The New King James Version reads, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Bringing this application here, Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And yes, the flesh is at enmity, war with the Spirit. And do we not wrestle against flesh? There's something in the text I can't shake. Oh, that we heed the words of the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that we might feel the weight of the woe. That we head no longer, never head down to Egypt for help, to stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But instead, people, we look unto the Holy One of Israel and seek the Lord. Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, I awakened. For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, an abundantly available help. Why are you going to Egypt? When you got the greatest help, the greatest strength, when you've got the one who has the gained honor and the gained glory, why aren't you looking to him? Why aren't you praying? Hebrews 13:6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Why do you rely on them? This tendency? Because it feels more tangible, touchable, seeable? Or be it a perceived quicker response, action? What is the answer to the question? The answer to the why. All I know is we need to start believing to greater measure in the name of the Lord our God, the power. What is man and flesh next to the name? And we need to look to the Holy One of Israel and seek the Lord like never before. I never tire of the list. Jehovah Jireh, provider. Jehovah Rophe. Jehovah Rapha, healer. Jehovah Nisi, banner, victory. Jehovah M. Kadesh, sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, peace. Jehovah Rohi, shepherd. What do you need today? Jehovah Tzidkenu, righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, felt presence. And the list just keeps going on and on. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous, doesn't say everybody. And the righteous run to it. The righteous run to it. The righteous run into it and are safe and is set on high. the Lord, the man of war, the great warrior. And have we not heard? Have we not heard that he is the Lord of hosts? I share the words of David Wilkerson. Old Testament saints knew God in a way we New Testament saints know very little about. They knew him as the Lord of hosts. Over 200 times in the Old Testament, from Samuel through Malachi, God is referred to by this name. We read that David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. This majestic title is found repeatedly in the Psalms. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The Hebrew word for hosts, it means an army ready and poised for battle. Soldiers, horses, and chariots ready to go to war at an appointed time. An army assembled and mustered, waiting for instructions. On one occasion, the Assyrian army came against King Hezekiah in Judah. This king was unmoved when surrounded by a ferocious army. And he said to God's people, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words. The Old Testament saints rested in their vision of an almighty God whose all-powerful, unseen army was assembled for their protection. David boasted, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them." According to the psalmist, they are enlisted for us. The Lord is thy keeper. We do not keep ourselves from evil by our own power. We do not do battle with Satan in our own strength. The Lord of hosts must do the keeping. Hear what the Bible says. He sent from above and took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, for they were too strong for me. In Jude, we are promised, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy," Jude 24, trusting God. Second Kings 6, pick it up at verse 8. "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him. He was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of the servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses. He sent horses and chariots and a great army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." This is our God. Oh, that eyes would open today. In this day, in this time in history, that eyes might see, that we might see, that you might see, that every man, woman, son, daughter would see the reality of the spiritual and the supernatural, the eyes in the sockets, that we might never again go down to Egypt. Lord, I pray, open eyes that we might see. Even now, Lord, in this place and in this space, behold, the mountain is full of horses and chariots of fire. Horses and chariots of fire. The Lord is not against horses and chariots and horsemen. He has these. And his are ablaze with hot, holy flames, an inferno that is unstoppable. And yet this, whoa. The Lord and the chariots and horses and charioteers of the Lord. But woe to those who go down to Egypt. You know, it's okay to own a chariot, to own a horse, to be a horseman, to have chariots, horses, and horsemen. For the people of God have these as well. And it's okay to prepare for the day and for the day of battle. But God's people know the source of their safety and victory. Their help, reliance, and trust is in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, their God, the Lord of hosts, the man of war. Put your trust in God, my boys, and keep your powder dry. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord God. Trust in the Lord your God. For trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, leaning on it, it goes into the hand and pierces it. So Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so is Pharaoh. To all who trust in him and are helped of him and of his. We will not put our trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen, whatever these represent today. And whatever these might represent, even on the individual level today, the Lord is our deliverance. The Lord will deliver us. Isaiah says the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. It's true. And I think of the representation, Egypt, its chariots, its horses, its charioteers, Pharaoh, a representation of the enemy of our souls, chariots, horses, charioteers. We're talking about the devil, fallen angel Lucifer, not God, hellish chariots, pale war horses, demon horsemen, death and Hades. And there are those that trust in these, even boast of these. Those that have given up their lives to this Egypt, having sold their souls to the devil, they themselves having become demonic agents. Listen, it's more alive. It's more real and alive in our world than we know. Inquire of the Lord. Look to the Holy One of Israel. Seek the Lord. 2 Samuel 5, 23 to 24. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. Ah, David. Let's be like David. And he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. The sound of marching. The Lord of hosts. All that ears would open today that they might hear. Open our eyes, Lord, and open our ears that we might hear, that you might hear, that every man, woman, son, daughter would hear the reality, the spiritual, the supernatural, the ears on the sides of the heads, that we might never go down to Egypt again. Wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. I think of Daniel, Daniel 10, 11 to 13, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear. Daniel, for from the first day, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Why the delay then? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. People of God, sometimes there's more going on than we know, more than we are aware of. We're talking about a clash in the spiritual, in the supernatural realm. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And just so we got good doctrine, let's bring it in, the Amplified Classic. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world, rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Stick with the man of war. Stick with the Lord. Stick with the mighty warrior. Stick with the Lord of hosts. We've come out and up from Egypt, and so we're never going down. Let's have the worship ministry return, please. This woe. Woe to those that go down to Egypt. Do you know God? Do you know His Son Jesus? Charles Spurgeon said, "And whither wilt thou go? Wilt thou go into the wilderness further and die there of thirst and hunger? Wilt thou go down to Egypt, back to all the cruelties of that benighted land? Whither wilt thou go?" It is thus the Lord meets runaway sinners that are bent upon their own destruction, and He calls them by name and says, "Whence earnest thou? What art thou leaving? What art thou losing? What art thou rejecting? What art thou turning back, turning thy back upon? And whither wilt thou go? What can be the end of such a life as thine? Whither can it carry thee but to destruction? Whither wilt thou go by this course of desperate sin? Canst thou face the eternal and the judgment seat and the curse that withers the ungodly? Whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? It is thus, I say, that the covenant angel met with many of us when he aroused our consciences and made us pause in our headlong rush of sin. Some of us heard the warning voice long years ago, and we can never forget it. The call rings in the chambers of our memory even now. It is thus that the Lord met with some of you a short time since, and you are at this moment filled with gratitude for the interposition. I believe that this morning the Lord will meet with some who are in this congregation, whom I know not, but whom He knows right well. For His eye is resting on them now, and His voice is speaking to them through my voice, like as He said of old, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Whence earnest thou? And whither wilt thou go? So doth He speak at this hour and ask you, why are you bent upon destroying your own souls? Some go back to Egypt. Some go back down to Egypt. This I will never understand. Back to all the cruelties of that benighted land. Back to partake of its diet and cuisine. Back because this fasted life seems so narrow. Back to Egypt because, I mean, remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna. This manna before our eyes. Lost taste. Lost wonder. Woe to those, to these And yes, the Lord meets runaway sinners today that are bent upon their own destruction, and he calls to them by name and speaks to them. Can you hear him? Can you hear him now? Can you hear the voice of the covenant angel? Trust God. Trust in God. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God. Trusting God. Let's stand in the house this morning. Come on, just ask him. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. We're a spiritual people. We're not living on a human level. Spiritual people, we believe in the supernatural. We know there's more going on. Lord, open eyes right now in this place. Lord, open ears, unstop ears in this place. Lord, even if there's someone who needs a physical touch, eyes and ears today, Lord. We trust in you. We trust in you, God. Lord, we invoke your name. We call upon your name. We trust in your name. If there's someone here that needs provision, Lord, let them run to you. Let them come to you. Let them call upon you. Let them run into that name, Jehovah Jireh, today, God. Lord, somebody facing a battle in this place, a struggle, a very real battle. It might be right close to home, even in their home. Jehovah Nissi. Lord, we're running into that name. We're trusting in that name. God, I need a physical touch in my body. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rophe. Exodus 15, 26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God, we trust in you. Lord, we look to you. We run to you, Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into it. God, raise up a righteous remnant. And you have those. That we keep running into your name and trusting in you, God. You need a shepherd? You feel lost? You can't see where you're going? You have no idea? Even the next step? Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.